I turned to Don Rumsfeld. Mr. Secretary, I said, for the peace of the world and the benefit and freedom of the Iraqi people, I hereby give the order to execute Operation Iraqi Freedom. May God bless the troops.
President George W. Bush there, former President George W. Bush, reading from his new memoir, Decision Points, which hits the bookstores today. It's officially rolled out. But last night he gave an NBC News interview, the first big interview. He talked with Matt Lauer about questions still remaining. It's fair to say the jury is still out on the legacy of President George W. Bush. There are still some cliffhangers from last Tuesday's election. Todd Zwillick here to wrap up all of this. Takeaway Washington correspondent joins us from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning, John. I was amazed, by the way. I watched that Bush interview with Matt Lauer. A different George W. Bush, the same guy, but much more relaxed, the burdens of office off him, and a much more free-flowing conversation than you ever would have seen when he was president. It was remarkable in that way to me.
Which you would expect. I mean, I think at the end, he was pretty miserable as president, so you'd expect to see a more relaxed president. But a more candid president? How is Washington receiving the kinds of things that he said last night? No apology, for instance. I mean, his talk about being hurt and angry that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Presidents do these days. No apologies. Presidents don't apologize. It's not in their DNA. No apologies for no weapons of mass destruction. It was still the right thing to do. I'm not professing any equivalency between the two, but no apologies off the bat from Barack Obama after getting a self-described shellacking in the elections. Just, we didn't sell it well enough. You know, even when people in their lives think, well, you'd apologize for that if you were in charge, presidents generally don't.
You know, that the audio that we had was from Random House Audio, which is actually, Bush reading his book. It's part of the audio book. Bush is going to be inescapable over the next week. You got NBC News, you got Larry King, I believe, and he's going to be everywhere for the next week or so.
Selling books. He's out there selling books, and a lot of people are going to want to read it. I'm sure there'll be plenty of downloads. I was just, amazed at his tone and the free flowing manner of the discussion. It was really kind of a different level of candor, or a different feeling of candor, when you don't have the calibrating of statements that he had in office anyway.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if people have a hunger for what Bush has to say. Certainly the results of the election and the shellacking that Barack Obama got that you talked about last Tuesday still continues in some House races and at least one Senate race. We know about the Washington race decided. Patty Murray, the Democrat, declared the winner over Dino Rossi late last week. But what's going on in the Alaska race? Lisa Murkowski, the write-in, of course.
Right. Lisa Murkowski, the write-in, the leader up until this point, Joe Miller, the Republican candidate, Tea Party favorite, who knocked her off in the primary. And the recount starts today, John. 9 a.m. Alaska time is when they get down to counting the absentee ballots, provisional ballots, all of the extra ballots. That's supposed to go all day, according to the election authorities, there until 5 p.m. And then they'll decide how much time they need to do the rest. They're going to work through the week, including the government holiday on Veterans Day, with several counting teams, and everybody's lawyered up in Alaska. Both sides have election watchers and election lawyers on their side to make this as granular and as tight as possible. Maybe we'll know in another week's time who the new senator from Alaska is going to be.
And the Murkowski race is really important because it affects how the Senate leadership is going to line up, and it'll be an early test of the power of Mitch McConnell and Jim DeMint, the so-called Tea Party bloc. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Let's look over at the House, though. Nine races still left to count in the House.
Yeah, and a couple have called overnight, by the way. We're going to downgrade that to seven, John. Virginia 11th, right outside Washington, D.C. here. Jerry Connolly, the two-term incumbent, has won that race against Keith Finney, and that was a closely fought race down to about 900 votes. That one's over. And in Washington State, incumbent Rick Larson has won. A Democratic incumbent Rick Larson has won as well over a guy named John Koster. That one was down to about 3,800 votes. There are seven others. Kentucky, California, Illinois, a couple of races in New York where Republicans made huge gains in this election. There was only one Republican in New York State before this election. Now there are six or seven and could be up to eight or nine, and one race in Texas yet to be called. So still seven left.
Aside for the question of whether Nancy Pelosi will be the minority leader in the House, what are the other leadership questions and the fights we should watch early?
Well, we like to say these are musical chairs, especially on the Democratic side. There's one less leadership spot, and when the music stops, somebody's going to be left without a place. Steny Hoyer The majority leader now, and Jim Clyburn, the whip now on the Democratic side, are both competing for that whip seat. And that could be a tight race. They both want it and both claim to have the vote. So we'll see what happens when the music stops there.
It'll be very, very interesting. A test of both the leadership in the Democratic Party and this new sort of Tea Party caucus that you've described. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent in D.C.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.